Blog Talk Radio.
You on the air, everybody?
Yeah, okay. I'm ready. Good evening to everyone. It's good to be back with you once again. Come tonight. I'm just going to do some teaching tonight, but it's so good to be able to be in the land of the living just one more day. The old year has passed. God has allowed us to be able to be come out of the old year into a new year, praying myself for me and my family and all of you all that this year would be a better year than it was last year. I know some of us went through a lot last year. I know I went through some things. And, you know, but God is going to make this year better because this is going to be a new season for us. And I believe for me, and I believe it for you all, that this is going to be your season, that God is going to raise up somebody. God is going to bless somebody. God is going to prosper somebody. God is going to just give them the season that's due to them. And but I come now because on behalf of Five Fold Ministry, I come because God is so good to all of us. God stands by us in every way. We can't beat God. We can't beat God. Who God is and what he is to us. I want to just honor him right now. Before we move into favor, I want to honor him because he's worthy of all of our honor. Because without him, we can do anything, but with him, we can do all things. And I just want to just stop to just give him the honor. Give him the honor for even looking out for us last year and allowing us to enter into a new year. This is the year that God has made, and God is going to do a new thing this year for us. And I want to give Apostle, I want to thank her and give her honor for being able to be here right now. Because if it had not been for her going time and time again and allowing this radio station go on, we wouldn't be on this station right now tonight. And I want to thank her right now for that. I want to thank her, and I want her to be blessed by it, because I know that God don't make no mistakes. God always stands by our side when we need him to stand. And I just want to thank her for that. Thank her family for allowing her to be able to continue on doing what God has allowed her to do. And as we begin to go into this new year, I want to just pray, first of all. I want to pray before we get into our lesson tonight, because prayer is the key to all of our situations. And I want to pray now. Most Holy God, our Heavenly Father, God, it is again that we come as humble as we know how. Lord, it is again that we come now. I come just to thank you once again for allowing us to be able to enter into a new year. Thank you for last year, Lord. Lord, you stood by our side and you looked out for us last year. But I know, Lord, with no doubt in my mind now, that this year is going to be a greater year for us. Because you have some things in store for us. Lord, we want to just thank you right now. I thank you for those that participate time and time again on this station. I thank you for my wife, Lord. She's absent from us tonight because she had to work. But, Lord, you take care of her. Lord, you watch over her. Lord, you guide her. Because, Lord, all of us need your help. At time like these, Lord, I want to thank you now. I want to thank you for bringing us out of last year and setting our feet into a new year that we have not seen what's going to happen. But we know with no doubt in our mind, if we just hold on to your unchanging hand, everything is going to be all right. Because you told us, Lord, that weeping might endure for a night, but you said joy will come in the morning. Lord, right now I pray for all families that's around us tonight, the ones that's listening to us tonight. I pray for those families that stand in need of a blessing right now. Bless them, Lord, in a special way. Guide them, Lord, in a special way. Lift them up, Lord, where they are torn down, and strengthen them where they are weak. And, Lord, and I pray that you would just allow your Holy Spirit to fall fresh. Allow your Holy Spirit to come, Lord, because, Lord, your Holy Spirit is going to keep us at a time like these. Keep us, Lord, as an apple in thine eye. And, Lord, in whatever we stand in need of this year, I pray, O Lord, that you would open up your windows in the heaven above and pull down many blessings so we can receive in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, and bless this ministry that goes on week after week, day after week. Those that partake of this ministry, bless them in a special way. Lord, and I thank you. I want to thank you for allowing me to be able to enter into this year, a new year, a brand new year to celebrate you, Lord, to celebrate your homegoing, Lord, to celebrate your resurrection, Lord, to celebrate knowing that you are so good to us. And, Lord, and I want to thank you. Thank you right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 Excuse me. I want to apologize tonight because I've been a little under the weather back during the holiday because the devil sometimes tries to steal God's joy, but I'm not going to allow that to happen every now and then, but I'm going to try to allow God to even dry that up during the time that's spent here with you all tonight here on this station. Because I don't want to interrupt what God has for you all to hear his speaker to speak. So I'm just asking God right now that he would dry up those coughs and allow me to be able to get through what he has signed my hands to do. Come and go with me in my teaching tonight. Let us look at the book of Romans. Let us look at the 12th chapter. And I'm going to be teaching just from one verse. I'm just going to take one verse of that chapter. And I'm going to be teaching from that one verse. And that one verse reads as the following. The 12th chapter of Romans. And the second verse reads as the following. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have entered, as I said before, into a new year, and we want to be the best that we can be during this new year. And I'm going to use for a title in my teachings tonight, Believe and Behave. Believe and Behave. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable, and the perfect will of God. 12, the chapter, Romans 12, the second chapter. Believe first and behave is the central theme of the book of Romans. Paul contests that what we believe has everything to do with how we behave. Am I right about that? Can you understand that the way that we believe, the way that we believe, contents what we believe everything to do with our behavior? I believe in that. I believe that if we believe in God, we would act like Him. I believe that we would not have those bad behaviors if we are believing in God, the one that is perfect, the one that is holy, and the one that is loving. If our belief is wrong, and our behavior would be wrong. You see, if our belief is wrong, what I'm saying here is that if your belief is wrong, our behavior is going to be wrong. And if our behavior is wrong, our belief cannot be right. Our behavior says more about our beliefs than does our testimony or written creed. We often tend to emphasize either belief or behavior to the exclusion to the other, which makes for a partial and imbalanced Christianity. Paul here, a man of balanced faith, assigned equal importance to each. First 11 chapters of Romans deals with belief, and the last five with behaviors. Do you understand here? What I'm saying here is the first 11 chapters, Romans, it deal with belief, and the last five with behavior. Paul here was in Corinth at the close of his third missionary journey. He was soon to return to Jerusalem with an offering for the poor. You see, he was soon to sail, even not going to Rome. Paul here saw an opportunity to send someone to sail to Rome, to send this letter to the church of Rome by this person. Because there back then was no postal service in the Roman Empire except for government businesses. The personal letters had to be carried by friends. Paul was not sure he would get away from Jerusalem alive. Desired to leave a written explanation of the gospel of salvation in the hands of the Christians at Rome. So he wrote this letter. He wrote this letter and had it delivered safely to the church, realizing that this may be his only communication with the church, what he must have felt to be the two cardinal truths of the Christian faith, the belief that resumed in salvation and the behavior that resumed from salvation. And my first point here tonight I'm going to be spawning on is that the belief that resumed in salvation. We find that in Romans 1, and it's following me tonight. After a few brief words of introduction, Paul proclaimed, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Romans 1:16. What kind of belief enables us to receive this kind of salvation? A here is belief in the unlimited power of salvation. Paul said that he was proud of the gospel of salvation. He considered himself privileged to preach it. What a strange statement in the light of all that had recently happened to him. Even we find at Philippi, he had been jailed. At Thessalonians, he had been expelled. And at Antioch, he had been scorned. The gospel Paul preached in Corinth was considered foolishness by the Greeks and a stumbling block by the Jews. We find that in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in the 23rd verse. In spite of the opportunity, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You see, the gospel that we preach, the gospel that we partake of, is the power from God to our salvation. We don't have no power without the power comes down from above. And that power is the power that God instills to us, in us, day by day. We are powerless without the power of God's hand on us. Every battle that we fight, without God fighting it for us, we will lose. Every situation that we are up against, Paul is letting us know here that we are lost and losing the battles without the power of God unto our salvation. The unlimited power of the gospel made Paul victorious over every obstacle in his path. You see, every obstacle that he came in contact with, when he was put in jail, when he was cast out, but the power that he had, that God gave him, he overcame every obstacle that followed in his wayside. So here I'm saying, my sisters and my brothers, here you find tonight that every obstacle that fallen in our wayside, God's power that instilled in us will move stumbling blocks. God's power will open up doors that no man can close. You see, Paul here, he spoke of the power of God unto salvation. He spoke from personal experience. We all have to have a personal experience with God. We have to allow God to be our personal God, because he becomes personal to us. To regain a relationship, we need a personal relationship and that's with God. And Paul had a personal relationship with him. See, first Paul, here, he hated the Christian faith. His heart was calloused against the call of God. He even planned a journey to Damascus to arrest and persecute those who were followers of Christ. That was the old Paul. The old Paul, like the old year, has passed away. And we have entered into a new year now. Those old things that we hold on to last year, we should have got rid of those things through the power of God and became a new creation. If you are still, or if we are still holding on to those things that besieged us in last year, something is wrong with this picture. We got to get it right, because this is a new year. All things pass away and everything became new. Last year passed away and this year became new. So we are living in a new year now. If we are holding modesty or whatsoever on our hearts this year that we had on that last year because somebody done this to us, we need, before we even entered into this year, we should have left those stuff behind and we should have pressed on to a high calling in Jesus Christ. We should have left those things behind. Our past is our past. We can't keep on, my sisters and brothers, holding on to our past. Our past is not going to get us where we need to be in Jesus Christ. We can't do nothing about our past but to be better Christians, to live a better life. But we can't redo our past. The only thing we can do is make our past and put it on our feet and move on to a new day. God says today is the day that he has made, and he will rejoice in it. My sisters and my brothers, it's time now. It's time now for us to stop holding on to things we don't have no control of no longer. Yesterday is past and gone, but today is the day that the Lord has made. And we, the only thing we can do is to worship him in spirit and in truth, because today is the day. We don't know about tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. So what I'm saying here is that we got to believe. And if we believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we believe, we will behave like we believe. Like we believe. You see, Paul, he had a change. We all should be looking for a change. I myself want to be better today than I was yesterday. You see, I've been down from this sickness,
Everybody gets sick every now and then. But listen, let me use an example here. Let me take this as an example. Every day that I have been not feeling well, and then the new day comes, and I look to the hill, and I say, Lord, let me feel better today. Every day I look to feel better as time goes on, because the devil can't do what God can do. The devil can knock us down, but the devil is going to keep us down, but God reaches down, and God picks us up. God places our feet on that solid rock. That's why I can stand here and let you know that God got all power in his hand. So that's why we have to believe. That's why we got to act like it's God's power that we exist of. It's because God has all power. Paul here, he knew that God had this power. Paul, nothing could change Paul. And nothing can change us if we have that power. You see, until he encountered the presence of Jesus Christ, see, nothing back then could change Paul. Paul was considered even a murderer. Nothing, no one could change him until he met Jesus, the Christ. It was then he discovered the unlimited power of God that can change any person, anywhere, in any condition. See, the power that I'm talking about, the power God has, he can change the drug addict. He can change the alcoholic. He can change the homeowner. He can change any one of us that's doing something that's not pleasing. The power that God has, he can change. He can take a little bit and turn it into a whole lot. God can take bad person and turn it into a good person, because God got all power in his hand. I tell you, he got all power. That's why that we stand, the one that's standing for him. That's why we stand. Here, Paul, as I move on in my lesson, to the Jews first. Because they were in immediate and had been religious background for accepting the gospel. Then he said to also to the Greeks, excuse me, the gospel reached Greeks as well as the Jews. Greeks were the intelligent of the first century, and were often 400 years had passed, and each excitement had almost gone out of movements. Terror had set in. So many gods and cities caught up all these things that might have been overlooked. But what caused Greeks to become Christians? The answer is revealed in the opening of Paul's address on Mars Hill. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. Does not live in temples built by human hands. God does not live in temples built by human hands. We find that in Acts 17, the 24th verse. In the place of random and anthem offered, Paul told of a God who can speak for himself, who is not contained in human thought. Jesus provides an inner restrictive, universal, available salvation. In Paul's letter to the Church of Rome, Paul said that salvation is available without restrictions because of several factors. The need that requires it said here, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Since all have sinned, salvation that I'm talking about here tonight is available to all. It is available without restriction because the people have sinned without exception. The grace that provides it. God is telling us here. For the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This salvation is available without restriction. Not because of human goodness, because of God's grace. If salvation were available on the basis of our goodness, it would not be available without restrictions. It's not based on our goodness. That's not what it's based on. Let me move on. The price that purchased it. I'm talking about our salvation now. The price that purchased it. But God commend his love toward us. He says that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I make that a little plain? Christ paid the price for our sins when he went to the cross. You know, he could have come down. He could have called up letting your angels to come and rescue him. But he gave his life so that we could have life and have life more abundant. Christ paid the price. How could God, through his son Jesus, prove his love to us? Because, listen. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto him. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Christ died for us. He died on our behalf. And you know what? My Bible teaches me that he voluntarily, on his own, because he said, I laid down my life. No man takes it from me. So Jesus, he laid it down on his own. John 10, 10th chapter in the 17th through the 18th verse tells us this, that he laid down his life. No man took it from him. God has made us. From the beginning, he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And through his son Jesus, he was brought. We was brought with a price. And that price, Jesus took upon his own head instead of us. The behavior that result from salvation. Romans 12, 1 through 2 tells us, belief result in salvation. Behavior results from salvation. One, listen, belief result into salvation. Behavior results from salvation. In other words, belief saves us. And behavior proves that we are saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen plainly. Belief saves us. Behavior proves that we are saved. What I mean here is that Paul pointed out that our belief in the gospel will affect three areas of our behavior. The first area of our behavior is our conduct. Romans 12, 1 through 2 verses. Said, I beseech you, therefore, whenever we see the word, whenever we see the word, therefore in the scripture, we should ask, what is it? What is it therefore? It always looks back on what has been said. Paul was saying, in the light of the belief that results in salvation, but now I set forth the behavior that results from salvation. You have believed. Therefore, you should behave. He did not say, I command you. He said, I beseech you. After all, he was writing to those who had already believed in Christ. Thus should their own had been behaving as believers. There may be many things we cannot do. Much we cannot give. But by the grace of God, we have behaved. Our conduct should be voluntary. Present your body. Your body, a living sacrifice. You see, our body that we partake of is a temple of God. We got to watch what we allow enter into our temple. We got to watch what we put on our temple. Because God says that he will not dwell in an unclean place. We got to know. We know that our bodies is a living sacrifice. It don't belong to us. We are just using these bodies for a period of time. And anything that's not lining up with the word of God, we need to get rid of those things, because God is not going to dwell in an unclean place. We have to be a clean vessel. You can't keep on holding on to your past, things that somebody done to you. You got to get rid of that mess, because that mess will damn your souls to hell. That mess will leave a scar on you. That mess will keep you weighted down. You got to get rid of these things that's weighting you down to be able to live a clean, peaceful life. You see, long as we hold on to those things, not forgiving our brothers and our sisters, lying, backbiting, excessive anger, these things is going to weigh us down. And we got to get rid of these things. Our conduct. Paul says here, listen, conduct should come from where? Within. Not without, within. And if it comes from within, it comes from our heart. That's where the Holy Ghost dwells, in our heart. Within, not without. But these, Lord have mercy, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Until we have genuine belief that results in salvation, we lack the power within to behave. We lack the power within to behave. Power that we has, we know it comes from above. And that power lives on the inside of us. And if that power lives there, we have to act like it. We have to behave like it. We can't have the Holy Ghost on the inside and act up on the outside. When we do those things that's not lining up with the word of God, we keep on saying that we are a new creation, that we've been born again. And then we look down on our sisters and our brothers just because they got a fault. We don't reach down. We don't pick them up because they got a fault. But I got something to tell you tonight. I see something wrong with that picture. If we are Christians, we have to act like we are Christians. If we are Christians, we have to live like we are Christians. We can't look down our nose at those that's less fortunate than we are. We got to reach down and pick them up. We got to place our hands in their hands and pull them up by the bootstraps and let them see that God that we serve is there for them to serve too. We can't keep on saying one thing and doing another. The new year is entered here. And we've got to be anew. We got to stop saying that we are Christians and we are acting like heathens. We got to stop, my sisters and brothers. I don't know about you, but I know this one thing I know. If I say that I'm going to live my life Christian, I'm going to train myself to be a Christian. A Christian, one that will love one another. One that will stand when there's no one else to stand with you. Christianship. We have to center our lives, Lord have mercy, on Jesus Christ. And if we center our lives on Jesus Christ, we will become a new creation. Christ becomes the center of our lives. That's what it's all about. Center our lives. Line up with the word of God. Let him work through us and in us. And believe it that he is God. And that he is God all by himself. Believe it that he has all power. And under the earth, beneath the earth, above the earth, in heaven above, he got all power. And let us believe, then we become citizenship. Our citizenship is the way we relate to the guidelines set forth by our forefathers. Maybe the greatest testimony we have. In God's economics, there is no place for a destructive spirit of rebellion concerning it. Chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, Paul wrote that salvation enables Christians to place the concern of others for their own selflessness interest. When we reach this level of behavior, you see, is it right or wrong? But rather, will it cause my brother to stumble? If I believe in Christ is genuine, we have as Christ would. We won't be out to please ourselves, to prove our point, or to insist on our own way. Rather, our lives will be characterized by the Christian love which Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Believe and behave. The message of the book of Romans. Believe and behave. Not believe or behave. Let me grasp both of these truths so that they are translated into everyday lives. In Paul's letter to the church at Rome, in the centuries past, and even in the time to come, believe and behave. Believe and behave. Most holy God, our Heavenly Father, there's one that might not know you by the pardon of their sins right now. I ask you right now, Lord, that you would look down on their hearts. I come now, Lord, as humble as I know how. Come, Lord, to just thank you for another day's journey. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be able to continue on doing your will, knowing that it's not my will. Sometimes, Lord, we don't even feel like doing your will. But you reach his way down. And you give us a little more strength to be able to continue on. I want to thank you for your guidance. I want to thank you for what you have done in my life. Last year, Lord, has passed and gone. And I know, Lord, that you're going to bring a new thing into our lives in the coming of this year. Lord, I pray that you would just continue on, wrecking on this building. This building that if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out right now, Lord, and strengthen me. Lord, I want to thank you for going with me and standing by me. Lord, I pray now that if there's one that needs a doctor, let them come crying to the doctor that can save and heal. Lord, right now, as I go from this place, pray, oh Lord, that you would allow your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide within all of us so that when tomorrow comes, that we will be able to nurse on you. Now, Lord, may your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide within us until we meet again, not on this side, but over on our side. Lord, we thank you now. We thank you for this station. Thank you, Lord, for just being with us and guiding us. Thank you for Apostle. Thank you for our family. Just thank you, Lord. Continue on working in us and through us. And as I go, I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will go with me. Pray, Lord, your angels will be dispatched around me. As my wife goes to work now, Lord, keep her at perfect peace with you. In Jesus' name I pray. For your sake, I ask it all. Amen. 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 I have heard noise, and it took my love to thee. Let my soul shall rest on the arms of faith and grace in thee. Draw me narrow, blessed Lord, to thy cross where thine have died. Draw me narrow, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. Thank you, Jesus.